We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday. It's April 25th. It is 2024. We have an 8-game early slate. Some day baseball here on Thursday. Big slate. Wasn't expecting to do the podcast by myself, but had some internet issues. So I told Keith not to wait up for me here. And finally got it fixed and back. Early slate, so wanted to still record tonight instead of tomorrow morning. And I am on crunch time on Thursday morning with Derek Carty and Kevin Roth. So excited to mess with Derek Carty. It's almost as fun as messing with Dean, but it's all in good fun. So excited to break that down. Going to do a live breakdown for PlateIQ. You guys have really been liking when I use PlateIQ in the solo podcast. So if you want to, check it out more in depth, I'll post a link over there in the Discord, or not in Discord, just kidding. I'll post a link in the YouTube chat that will give you all a 3-day trial promo, so you'll get a little bit cheaper than what you would get, and you'll be able to check it out like a 3-day promo here. It's like $19.99 for the combo package, and I mean that includes everything except for NASCAR as far as sports. So posted that over there on YouTube, and Derek, I tried to get the people to give enough link or enough likes during the Grinders Live today to get Dean to come on a podcast, and the people didn't want him. I mean, I tried. I put it out there, and we didn't get enough likes, so not enough people wanted Dean to come on. So I understand. I get it. All right, let's talk some baseball. We got 8 games. I do want to give a shout-out. I saw it's Yeezy's birthday. So shout out to Yeezy, longtime listener, always hanging out in chat. Happy birthday to Yeezy. I don't know if he's in chat right now or not, but just wanted to give him a shout out. Happy birthday. We got Philadelphia at Cincinnati, 8 total in this game. Philadelphia, a 156 favorite. Zach Wheeler against Nick Martinez. Zach Wheeler, 10,000. Highest priced pitcher on DraftKings. Second highest priced pitcher on FanDuel behind Jose Berrios. Yes, I've already looked at pricing a little bit on both sites. I was kind of I'm not gonna lie. I was a little bored waiting for my internet to come back on. So I looked at some stuff a little bit. So here we go. As far as Zach Wheeler is concerned, he's been phenomenal to start the season. He's been pitching really well. Over 6 innings in 4 of his 5 starts this season. He's thrown over 100 pitches in 3 straight. Coming off a game where he just absolutely dominated the White Sox. It was the third time in four games he's gone for at least eight strikeouts. If we look at like his strikeout stuff here on Plate IQ, it's phenomenal. 36.5% against righties, 16.3% swinging strikes, and then against lefties, 13.6 with a 23.8% strikeout rate against lefties. So just kind of looking at it, ground balls are way up for him this season, which is good. I mean, you know, you're going to obviously need some ground balls every once in a while. The fly balls have come down, which also helps in a ballpark like the Great American Small Park here in Cincinnati. Limiting home runs in this ballpark is tough because, I mean, we do call it the Great American Small Park for a reason. So I like Zach Wheeler. I think he's obviously one of the studs to pay up for on this slate. He's a guy that can get you 30 plus fantasy points. And the good thing about like Cincinnati is they do strike out, where, I mean, they are really talented young offense, but look, I mean, Benson 33, Elidio Cruz 30.8, Encarnacion Strand 28.8, Tyler Stevenson 27.3, Candelario 23, Fairchild 23. So the only person in this projected starting lineup is Espinel at 17.4%. So a lot of strikeouts in this lineup. So yeah, I mean, I think Wheeler is very much in play here. Going to the other side of this game with Nick Martinez. Nick Martinez, not a huge strikeout guy. I mean, he was a little bit better last season just in general, but like Nick Martinez is not somebody that I like rush to play. It's not like he is a guy that has been starting and pitching well. Like he started a couple games earlier this year and got absolutely hammered. So yeah, I mean, overall, I think Nick Martinez is someone I'd much rather stack against than play, you know. So very interested here in the Philly bats instead of Nick Martinez. So let's talk about those Philly bats. Obviously, we like lefties more. Bryce Harper, he went on paternity leave on Monday. I could see Bryce Harper potentially being back for this game, or they might just kind of leave him out till Friday. We'll see if he's back. If he's back, it's a huge bump to the lineup in general because it offers another left-handed hitter. You know, obviously, Schwarber is great. If Harper is out, we're going to get Clemens at 2,400 here. And like Cody Clemens, he might play regardless if Harper's back or not. So definitely going to be paying attention to that. I like Marsh a lot in this spot. Brandon Marsh, obviously someone that we like against right-handed pitching. Assuming that Bryson Stott will be back in the lineup here as well. I like him against right-handed pitching. He has upside. So again, I want to attack Nick Martinez with Philadelphia lefties. But overall, I think the Philly stack is very much in play, regardless of lefty, righty. I think that this is a spot we just want to attack the Philadelphia lineup. And again, we should get more lefties in this lineup. They were facing a left-handed pitcher. That's why the projected lineup here on Plate IQ is still very right-handed heavy. Derek, 9:30 for Keith. So Keith does a lot of the back end stuff with projections and getting next slates ready. So I assume that's what Keith is doing right now. And yeah. Do I think Turner or Schwarber should hit leadoff? I actually like Schwarber hitting leadoff. Just in general, I like having that power there. It kind of protects the lineup a little bit more with Schwarber batting leadoff. Like you almost have to pitch to Schwarber, especially like the first time around, right? Because like you have three or four really solid hitters behind Schwarber. So it's not like you can walk him, where I'm still on board of like, why are we pitching to Mike Trout so much when there's nobody behind him? So I like Schwarber hitting leadoff, but I also like Turner. Like the traditional fast, you know, get on base guy leadoff is just not a thing anymore, right? Like when I was growing up playing baseball, if you could get on base and you were fast, you're likely going to hit leadoff. And it's just changed. Baseball has changed a lot in the last 5 to 8 years, and love where baseball is going in general. So, All right, we got Chase Anderson and Tristan McKenzie facing off against each other, Boston and Cleveland, 7 total. Cleveland, a slight favorite. I did want to pull up really quick and see McKenzie's. His velocity was way down going into that Oakland start, and he actually had some strikeouts in the Oakland start, and I forgot to pull up and see if his velocity was back up at all in that game. I'm going to pull that up really quick. So it's still way down. So his velocity overall is still way down. We'll talk about that in a second. I forgot to look before the podcast, and I wanted to look and I forgot. So I did it real quick. But let's start here with Chase Anderson. Chase Anderson's been working on the bullpen here for the Red Sox this season. He's just going to kind of fill in a little bit here with Pivetta getting hurt, which kind of stinks because, I mean, I really think Pivetta was going to have a really solid start to the season. So looking at Chase Anderson, low strikeout guy, again, I don't think he's fully stretched out or even anywhere close to fully stretched out here. I assume Chase Anderson throws, like, if he's pitching well, 50 to 70 pitches, but I don't expect Chase Anderson to be throwing well, just not a spot I necessarily want to play him anyway. Low strikeout guy against a low strikeout team, just a bad spot, even at 5,900. McKenzie on the other side of this game. Listen, the Red Sox, they're striking out. We know that. I completely understand that. But, like, Tristan McKenzie, I'm going to overlook the Oakland start and just say Oakland, right? It was Oakland. And just say, you know, his velocity is still way down. The control was still an issue in Oakland. He's not pitching deep into games. I think this is just a spot that I want to stay away from Tristan McKenzie. And I hope people play him after the Oakland start. So, yeah. All right, let's talk bats, because I like bats in this game, right? This is a really good spot for bats. Obviously, I think Devers is one of the top hitters on the entire slate here. Tyler O'Neill, righty-righty, doesn't bother me. Again, Tristan McKenzie's, like, ability to attack righties is definitely hurt by the fact, like, his fastball is down, just in general. So, I really like Duren, Devers, O'Neill. I don't mind getting some Valdez or Abreu here. Connor Wong keeps hitting home runs. It's not going to continue, right? But he's a cheap catcher. He had 2 home runs on Wednesday. Wasn't on the main slate, but just a guy that keeps hitting. You know, Connor Wong quietly is hitting like over 350. I was watching the broadcast earlier today, and I was like, really? So, I think Connor Wong as a catcher play, very much in play, should hit 6th or 7th in this lineup. I don't have a ton of interest in the bottom half of this lineup here. Reyes, Dalbec, just not my favorite. And then the other side, I definitely want to attack Chase Anderson. I think that Chase Anderson's not very good, and I don't expect him to pitch deep. It's just we don't have a ton of upside just in general in the Cleveland lineup outside of Ramirez and Naylor. They're expensive, right? So, those would be the two guys I'd be targeting here is Naylor and Ramirez. Kwan, I think Kwan is okay. He offers a little bit of upside with, like, getting multiple hits, and he's a guy that can steal some bases. And if I had to pick between, like, 2 of the 3, I would prioritize Ramirez and Naylor. Just kind of look, right? Like, look at Plate IQ right here as far as, like, Stephen Kwan. 117 ISO, at least Ramirez at 175, Naylor's at 194. We start looking at, you know, some advanced metrics. Kwan's hitting the ball hard 21.8% of the time. Jose Ramirez almost at 55, Naylor's at 47, Bo Naylor's at 49%. So you get a lot more upside for, you know, saving some money here. So, like, Kwan is just, again, going to be somebody that I'm off of most of my lineups here, but I'll build some Cleveland lineups. I plan on running at least 150 lineups today, or at least 100 lineups today. it's just a fun slate. I like the slate a lot. So, and I'm on crunch time, so like we'll be answering questions and I'll be building lineups. So I mean, yeah, Bo Naylor very much in play. Brennan is cheap still on DraftKings at 34. Florell is still cheap here at 33. So yeah, I mean, I definitely want to attack some of these left-handed hitters against Chase Anderson. And like Chase Anderson throughout his career has been like reverse splitsy, but I don't know how many righties we technically get in the lineup. And again, Chase Anderson's just not good anymore. So, all right. Oh, there's Yeezy. Yeezy, I gave you a shout out at the early part of the podcast. I don't know if you were hanging out with us or not at the early part, but happy birthday, my friend. White Sox at Minnesota, 7.5 total here. And I don't know, like, it sounds like the total might move a little bit in this game, but Woods Richardson's going to come up and pitch in this game instead of Ober. They're going to give Ober an extra day here. And Soroka's pitching for the White Sox. So fun stuff, right? Let's break this situation down. If you listened to the podcast before, you already know what I'm going to say about Soroka. I think Soroka is one of the worst pitchers in baseball. He's awful, right? Look at this plate IQ stuff. 10% Ks, 10.7%. His walk rate's higher than his K rate. His ISO's at 230. His WOBA's at almost 400. 47.6% hard hits. 6.6% swinging strikes. Needless to say, Minnesota is by far one of my favorite teams to target on this slate. And like, we'll talk about the bats in just a second, but yeah, Minnesota way underpriced for a matchup against Mike Soroka. And then the other side, so we got Woods Richardson. Like I said, he's going to get called up or is getting called up to pitch in this game. We saw him pitch earlier this season against, who did he pitch against? He pitched against Detroit. He had 5 strikeouts in 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, and scored 23.7 fantasy points. So, you know, kind of looking at AAA for him, I mean, the swinging strike rate is really solid. The strikeout rate is solid. He does typically give up a little bit more fly balls, which is a little concerning. We've seen him a little bit over the last couple of years, but not a ton. But it's a 4K pitcher. It's a 4K pitcher getting the White Sox. It's hard for me not to have interest in him in this spot because he's 4K and he's getting the White Sox. I expect him to be popular because we do have some stacks to pay up for on the slate. So I almost think like I'll end up matching the field or being slightly overweight on him. I hope that he doesn't get a lot of ownership. He's a young pitcher that has a little bit of upside. And I mean, again, just if he throws 80 solid pitches here against the White Sox, I mean, they just don't have a lot of upside in this lineup. So yeah, very interested in Woods Richardson at 4K. Ober was going to be one of my favorite plays on the slate before this news came out like almost 2 hours ago. So yeah, Woods Richardson very much in play in this one. As far as the bats here for the White Sox, Sheets is still really cheap. He's like, again, like the one guy in this lineup that I don't mind playing. Outside of that, the lineup just kind of stinks. Even if we like switch over to like current season and look at this lineup, like it's just bad. Like DeJong has had a little bit of pop, but he's striking out 37% of the time. So I don't know if we expect those guys to be in the lineup over some of these other guys. But again, just look at how bad this lineup has been. They're just, the White Sox are awful this season. So very interested in Gavin Sheets just overall. And then I will say, if Nicky Lopez hits leadoff in this one, I don't think he got hurt or anything. I think they just gave him the day off. He's 2,100 at second base, and he's hit safely in 4 of the last 5 games. So, yeah, I mean, I don't mind Nicky Lopez leadoff. He just doesn't have a lot of upside. But Minnesota, yes, give me all the Minnesota here today. I've been playing Minnesota a lot this week already. I feel like it. I didn't play them a lot. Because I was very much on Crochet. That didn't work out. He came out in the fifth. they were going to let him go in the fifth, and he came out in the fifth. My mic lowered? My mic shouldn't have lowered. It's on my end, it's really solid still. So let me know in chat, but I'm looking at my levels and I should be fine. As far as, Crochet, he came out in the fifth and I was like, oh man, he has a chance to get his strikeout rate up or strikeout. You know, I had his over 6.5 and gave up a double right out of the gate. And they're like, all right, this dude's done. I like Minnesota a lot today. Like we're going to get a much different lineup from Minnesota than we saw yesterday. Julian's going to be back in the lineup. Kepler's going to be back in the lineup. Kirilov, Larnach, all these guys. I like Minnesota a lot. Kind of looking at the pricing here, Kirilov 41, Julian 38, Kepler 37, my boy Larnach 31. You already know he's coming later in the morning grind game for what it's worth. Again, I think Minnesota is in a great spot here. They make for an excellent secondary stack. I might even full stack them today. Sorek is that bad that I actually might full stack them today. All right, we got Toronto at Kansas City. We got Berrios and Reagans facing off in this one. 8 total. Kansas City is a slight favorite, but more of a pick 'em game than anything else here. We'll start with Berrios. Rodriguez didn't pitch great. Berrios just... Berrios has upside, right? Like, he's a guy that can pitch really well. We've seen him strike out lefties and generate a lot of ground balls against lefties this year. Kansas City's a really solid team, but there is upside facing this team. So... at 9,400, Berrios is really going to be like an ownership type of play for me. If Berrios is going to be lower owned, I'll definitely have some exposure to him. But if Berrios is going to get a ton of ownership today, I'm probably out. Kansas City, again, they've been a really solid team to start the season. If we look at the top half of this lineup, Pascantino, Perez, Melendez, Witt, 273, 288, 266, 315. Like, these guys at the top half of this lineup have just been hitting all the time. I think this is a fantastic spot. If you want like a leverage stack, if Berrios does get chalky, but I don't know if Berrios is going to get chalky. So I think that's why he's somewhat interesting here. I will say, like, his strikeout rate has dipped against righties this season. I assume that like it is starting to come up a little bit. Against right-handed hitters, like, he does have good pitch mix against right-handed hitters. And I expect his strikeout rate against lefties to go down. Because, like, even if we look at, to compare, right, last season, 11.9% swinging strikes, 31.8. And then if we look at last season, he had 11.3 and he was at 24.3. 0.6% swinging strikes does not generate an extra 7.5% of strikeout rate. And like, his swinging strike rate's down a little bit here against righties. So I think it's going to normalize out a little bit more. Just kind of looking at his pitch mix here, using a lot of fastball / sinker against lefties, using a lot of his slurve against lefties. So I think I'm out. I don't think I'm out, but I think like Berrios is an ownership play. If he's going to be chalky, I'll probably play some Kansas City bats against him. I think he'll end up being in my player pool here regardless. I don't know how much I'll play of him if he's chalky. Cole Reagans on the other side. Cole Reagans coming off of this guy. He ran into a good Baltimore team. I can never find this good Baltimore team. We talked about how he had to face that team for the second time already this season, and they hit him hard. So overall, Cole Reagans has been fantastic since coming over to Kansas City last season. He gets a lineup full of right-handed hitters and like good right-handed hitters that have struggled with left-handed pitching. I think Reagans is really interesting for tournaments today. I hope that him getting beat up last time out lowers his ownership today. Cole Reagans is better than what we saw last time out. And like, look at some of these ISOs against lefties. Springer at 120, Vlad under 100, Varsho, he's been super hot. We've been playing him. They wouldn't pitch to him today. They walked him a couple times. I think he had a single. But yeah, I mean, Vogelbach could probably be out of the lineup here. They'll probably get Schneider back in there, and Schneider's really good against lefties. Justin Turner will be back in the lineup. He's really good against lefties. So overall, I think Cole Reagan's really interesting tournament play today. As far as the bats for Toronto, again, they're really cheap still, like Bichette, 4,400. I really like that price tag on Bichette. Jensen at 3,300 at catcher here, I think is really solid. And then again, like Turner and Schneider, those two guys I just talked about that are really good against lefties. I don't think I'll stack Toronto. I think I'll be looking at Toronto as like a one-off, chasing some of this cheap power. Just chasing the cheap power, right? Like, there's enough cheap power here where you could just one-off some of these Toronto bats and be good with it. But I like Reagan's more than the field today. did you see the Springer home run? Hit off the glove. I don't know if it would have been a home run. Anyway. All right. Other side here. Berrios is great at generating ground balls. He's not a guy that typically gets blown up. If he gets some ownership today, it would be these three guys, right? Witt, Pascantino, Perez, Melendez, those four guys right there. Velasquez, like four or five people right there. It's as simple as that. On FanDuel, I've been playing Garcia a lot. He's just underpriced over there every single slate. And it feels like I always end up in his range, and I just keep playing him. He keeps producing. He's a guy that can steal bases. He had two stolen bases on Wednesday, and he scored like 20 fantasy points for me. Like, you know, so he was cold there for a little while. His price has come down, and he's been hitting the ball really well again. So I don't mind him more. He's more of a FanDuel play for me, though, than a DraftKings play. Because, like, DraftKings, he's 46. I think we're going to find better options. But I still, like, if you're stacking Kansas City. So I think Kansas City is just a good leverage stack today, more than anything else. Houston at Chicago. We got Verlander and Assad, 8 total in this game. Houston is a 130 favorite. Another like chilly day in Chicago. I think the temperatures are like 45 to 50. Wind blowing across the field, so I don't think wind's really going to affect it too much here. But I mean, just enough to note it, right? Verlander, he looked really good in his first start of the season. Like the eye test, but like if you look at some of his advanced metrics, he definitely faced a Washington team, right? His whiff rate was way down. His swinging strike rate was 5.1% in his first start this season. Just wasn't missing any bats, didn't walk anybody, had 4 strikeouts, gave up 1 home run. I am on the fence with Verlander. Like, again, Justin Verlander is so good, right? Just in general. But he's getting older. He missed a lot of spring training, and he's missed the first 3 weeks of the season, 4 weeks of the season with shoulder issues. I don't think we need Verlander today. Like, I think we have enough pitching that I just don't think we need Verlander today. Now, the Cubs lineup definitely takes a hit with Bellinger going on the IL. Michael Bush is swinging the air again right now. They had to move Tauchman up in the lineup. I could see Verlander pitching really well in this game. I could see them pitching really well in this game. But with that said, his advanced metrics scare me enough where he's 8,800. It's not like Verlander is really cheap in this spot. You know, you gotta actually pay up for him. And like for me on FanDuel at 10-1. Verlander's an easy stay away for me on FanDuel today. But yeah, I mean, on DK, I just don't know if we need him. Again, these advanced metrics scare me, not generating any misses whatsoever. So that worries me a little bit. And again, like, he had arm issues. He's not going to pitch 100 pitches in this game, too. So, going Assad on the other side. There he is. Assad, he's not a huge strikeout guy. He's going to generate, he's going to try to generate soft contact and ground balls here and just not get beat up. He's not like my favorite option. I'll say this, though. Houston just looks awful, right? Like, if we just switch over to their current season stats against right-handed pitching, this team has just been atrociously bad. They're still not striking out, though, right? They're at 17% against right-handed pitching this season with this lineup that they had in yesterday. So I don't know if I could play a low strikeout pitcher against a low strikeout offense when we have some upside pitchers. I think there's going to be spots, and there's been spots we've played Assad this season, but he's not 6,500 anymore. You know, like, he is in this price range where I think you are potentially going up to Reagan's at $400 more. So, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of pitchers under him that I would recommend outside of, again, Woods, Richardson. Wood Richardson being 4K changed the whole entire slate. It changed the whole entire slate because now we have that 4K option. It's actually a really solid option. So he just changed the slate so much. I don't think Assad's a bad pitcher. Houston has been awful. I could see it working out, but I think I'm going to pass here. On the Houston bats, I know they've been awful. I'm still going to play them. I know they've been awful. I'm going to play them anyway. I don't think Assad's a guy that scares me too much. This team has too much talent. They're bad, but Tucker, Alvarez, Altuve, Diaz, Pena, all these guys very much in play for me. Again, probably going to run 100 lineups. I'll probably have Houston as a main stack around 10, so 10%, 15%-ish. So, yeah, they've been awful, but I kind of like the Cubs' bats. I don't want to play a lot of people against Verlander typically. But, man, we get into looking at some of the stuff for Verlander from his first start. And it was one start. But he gave up a lot of barrels. Again, 5.1 swinging strikes, only a 10% whiff rate. I kind of want to play the Cubs today. I don't know how much of the Cubs I'll play today, like, just overall. But I don't expect the Cubs to be popular against Verlander in chilly weather in Chicago. So I kind of like the Cubs. Just, yeah. Woba was good, but like some of the advanced stuff, just not good. I'm going to quickly pull up some of the Baseball Savant stuff for him, and just, I am more curious. So his fastball was down about a mile per hour from last year's fastball, still down about 2 miles an hour from the year before. And his fastball got hit hard in that first game. He threw his fastball 45% of the times against Washington. It had a 10% whiff rate, 377 wOBA, 495 X wOBA, 852 X slug, 62.5% hard hits on his fastball. So Verlander's fastball got hit really, really hard in his first start this season, for what it's worth. So let's look. Cubs, an okay fastball hitting team. Obviously Swanson, Morel, Bush, Tauchman and Horner hit fastballs well. They walk a lot against fastballs as well. So, I mean, nothing really changing my mind here. I think the Cubs are an okay team to target against Verlander. I'll probably use it more as a secondary stack of like a chalky Philly stack, like, type of things. We're going to talk about Coors here in a minute. So, All right, we got Seattle at Texas. 8.5 total here. It looks like it's 9 some places now. Seattle, a slight favorite. Luis Castillo, Andrew Heaney facing off against each other. Before like we get into talking about these pitchers too much here, Corey Seager left the game on Wednesday, and Cal Riley he had like a tooth issue or something. So we'll see if he's back or not for this game. So had to have a tooth removed or something. Luis Castillo, 8,600 on DraftKings, like through 7 innings, threw really good against Colorado last time out in Coors. That was his third out of his last 4 that he's had at least 7 strikeouts. Luis Castillo finally coming into form, right? Like he started the season awful. So finally starting to come into form. I think he's interesting today because he's not going to have any ownership and his price is fair. So I think in large field tournaments, you could roll out a little bit of Castillo. It's not my favorite thing to do, but like we are getting a guy under 9K that has a 29% K rate that's missing bats, that has upside, which we don't have a ton of these guys down there today. So I think Castillo is fine. And then Andrew Heaney on the other side here. Seattle is a team that we love to target. I played a lot of John Gray. Really wanted John Ray to get, he had like 92 or 93 pitches. And I was like, all right, one more out. Let him at least be in line for a win. Andrew Heaney has started the season awful. We know how bad Seattle is just in general. So Heaney is the guy that I have on my list today as a potential starter that we could take some shots on. But with that said, I'm definitely going to have interest in bats against him too. I just think that like we don't have a ton of options down in this price range. I could see Heaney getting 6 to 8 strikeouts, giving up a few runs. Overall, I'll probably have way more hitters against him than I will have him as a pitcher today. As far as those bats go, yeah, obviously I want Cal Riley back in the lineup, but if he can't get back in the lineup, it is what it is. But very interested in Rodriguez, Garver. Dylan Moore has been really good against left-handed pitching since the start of last season, and I assume that he's cheap here. Yeah, you can play him in the outfield too now. 3,300 for Dylan Moore. So he had a couple stolen bases on Wednesday, so that's always good to see. So Ty France, he is always someone I like playing against lefties. And then Mitch Haniger, I know his ISO is down against left-handed pitching since the start of last season. Look at how bad Seattle. Oh, you switched to this year, and it's like, oh, man, this team is awful. Jeez. Wow moment for me. So yeah, I love doing that kind of stuff on Plate IQ. Jeez. Oh man. Yeah. They've been rough. As far as the Texas bats go, Luis Castillo is a good pitcher. The way that you play Texas today is you sack them. It's kind of the same thing I said yesterday against Miller. And if you stack Texas yesterday, they actually did really well against Miller. I know Garcia hit a home run. Carter hit a home run. So they did good. I don't mind. Like I said, if you're playing Texas, stolen bases does not count towards total bases. Singles, doubles, triples, home runs for betting purposes. But yeah, I mean, if you're playing Texas, I think you stack them. I think that's how you approach Texas today. San Diego at Colorado, some potential weather in this game, but it looks like it's going to be okay. It looks like it's going to potentially be the best like hitting conditions on the slate, like 75 and wind blowing out at like 10 miles an hour, which isn't a ton, but 75, we don't have many games in that range today. Looking at some of the forecasts for today, we have a lot of games in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, so good to see one hitting conditions that are really good, and of course it has to be in Coors. Waldron, not pitching. It's Vasquez. I almost talked about Waldron again, but it's Randy Vasquez here pitching for San Diego. 5 innings in his first start of the season, threw 97 pitches. His strikeout rate wasn't great. The Rockies aren't a great offense. Again, I think this is where Woods Richardson kind of just ruins value. I don't think I want to play Vasquez today unless like Wood Richardson is just becoming like massive, massive chalk. But I have more interest in the Colorado bats than I do Vasquez here. And then on the other side of this game, Dakota Hudson. Padres top stack on the slate again. Gosh, I just hate it because you hate playing Coors and you hate playing the gutless Padres. But Dakota Hudson's awful. I mean, he's not good. He has a 12.5% K rate. He had a 12.7% K rate last year. He's actually giving up a little less hard contact. But that, I mean, that's going to regress a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, this is just one of those spots where he does a good job generating ground balls from time to time, but he also gives up a lot of fly balls this season compared to last season. So Dakota Hudson, prime target as far as bats for me. San Diego bats, top of the board. I love every bat that cracks the lineup, lefty, righty, does not matter. Absolutely love the Padres today. Don't care what their ownership is. I'm going to play a ton of them today. It'd be interesting, like, I assume Machado is probably not coming back for the series, right? With them being back, with them traveling again tomorrow after the game, I assume that he'll just meet the team. I don't know if they're going home or if they're traveling, but I assume he'll meet the team Friday here. So I think like we're going to potentially get Paulie in the lineup at 3,200. I mean, he does have a home run this season. He's been really bad lately, but he's facing Dakota Hudson. So like that value there for him. Yeah, very, very interested here in the Padres bats. And the Rockies, I'm interested in the Rockies bats too. Looking at some of the advanced stuff for Vasquez and then looking at some of his AAA numbers and stuff, I think that this is a guy that's hittable just in general. So, yeah, I mean, we saw Vasquez pitch a little bit last season. It wasn't a lot, right? 37 innings. And he only had a 19.9% strikeout rate, and he was a big fly ball guy. So I think you're chasing home runs here because of the fly ball issues, because of the home run issues that Vasquez has. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like the Rockies are this, like, end-all offense that is fantastic. So, I mean, it's hard. Oh, my screen share dropped. Has anybody else had issues with might have lost our screen share there. Sorry. It just disappeared on me. I don't know what's going on. I keep having issues where FanGraphs keeps crashing my browser. And I don't know why, but I hate it. It's driving me crazy. So, yeah, I don't know if anybody else is having that issue or if it's just me. I probably need to clear out, like, my cookies and cache, whatever, all that stuff. So I haven't done that in a while. All right. We have one more game on DraftKings. It is the Dodgers and Washington Nationals, 8.5 total. Dodgers a 2-10 favorite here. I'm not going to try to pull the screen share back up because it's just not working. So yeah, I'll just talk through this game. Anyway, we got Yamamoto going up against Mackenzie Gore. So we'll start here. The whole like browser crashing just now threw me completely off my game. I'm sorry. Totally sidetracked. Very much sidetracked. So anyway, Yamamoto, he's shown great strikeout stuff so far. He's had a few bad innings, like every start, it feels like. I think Yamamoto at 9,600 is definitely somebody we're playing today. Washington's not a team that strikes out a ton, but the bottom half of this lineup, depending on like who's in there, has plenty of strikeouts, especially with like Nick Senzel being back. He's a strikeout guy. If Rosario's in there, he's a strikeout guy. Obviously, Joey Gallo's home runner strikeout. So I think, obviously, Yamamoto with his almost 14% swinging strikes, 33.3% K rate, we're seeing the strikeout stuff for him. So, like, even in the Mets start, he had, like, one bad inning. Still had 9 strikeouts. They lost that game. I like Yamamoto a lot today. I think that he's going to pitch really well. Mackenzie Gore on the other side. Mackenzie Gore has sneaky high strikeout upside, just in general. Like, this is a guy that can go out and generate a lot of strikeouts. It'd be really interesting to see how many lefties they have in the lineup. Like, if they leave in like Ohtani, Freeman, Muncy, Lux, if they leave in a bunch of these lefties, which, okay, so Ohtani, I assume, hits. Freeman probably hits, and maybe they give Muncy the day off, Lux and Altman off. So, I don't know. I think he's really interesting if he's not going to have any ownership. You can't play him on FanDuel. This game right here is not on FanDuel. They left this game off for some reason. But I think if Mackenzie Gore is not getting any ownership, he's really, really interesting for large field tournaments. As far as the bats, obviously Mookie Betts against any lefty is in play. Paez, he's been hitting really good here. He's only 3K still, so I don't mind him. Like, he's starting to get his footing. I know he has 2 home runs in the last 3 games, so you love to see that. Teoscar Hernandez is really good against lefties. He looks fantastic at the plate this season. So there's plenty of Dodger righties that I'll get in the lineups here. You know, obviously we'll get the Kiki Hernandez platoon, Chris Taylor platoons. So don't mind the righties here for the Dodgers. Again, you start with Mookie and you just kind of go from there. With the cheap Dodger righties that are going to be in the lineup, I think you prioritize Will Smith over like Freeman and these guys. That's just how I would do it. And I hate paying up a catcher. Washington bats. I don't have a ton of interest in Washington. Like, if you want to chase like an Abrams or Gallo home run, okay. I do like playing, what's his name, Jacob Young, when I need like a punt play, just because like he's a guy when he gets on base, he'll run. So that's always fantastic. But I think overall, we have plenty of bats to play in this slate, so I don't think you're going to get a ton of exposure here to Washington bats. All right. Morning grind game. Appreciate you all hanging out. 1:15 on the East Coast, and we have people hanging out in chat, and chat's been going this whole time. I tweeted out asking if you guys wanted a live, and there was a good response. I think like 5 or 6 of you said live. So I'm a man of the people. I'm tired, but we got this, right? We are the morning grind, so I got to grind. Under 8K to get 6 or more strikeouts in this one. I think I'm going all the way to the bottom here and going Woods Richardson. I know the White Sox have been striking out a lot more or a lot less this season. I just think those numbers are going to regress. I think this lineup's just bad overall. So give me Woods Richardson as my strikeout guy. I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to play a lot of this guy. I hope that he's not popular, but I think he will be. Over 8K to score, under 15. Who's my bust today? I'm going Justin Verlander. Again, looking at some of the advanced stuff for Verlander from his last start, I don't think I could do Justin Verlander today. I think I'm out. Looking at some of those fastball numbers, we know Verlander is going to throw 40 to 50% fastballs. His fastball got hit hard in that game. Over 4K to hit a home run, not in cores. Oh, I'm going to go to my boy Tyler O'Neill to hit a home run today. Absolutely love Tyler O'Neill today. Love this spot for him. Back from the IL and hitting again. So hopefully he can get hot again. I think that Tyler O'Neill has a lot of upside just in general. And thank you, Cardinals, for Tyler O'Neill. Like this might actually work out for us. Under 4K to get two hits. You already know. Everyone in chat already knows. Everybody in chat knows. I don't even have to say it, but I will for people not hanging out in chat with us. But give me Larnach at 3,100. Twins are one of my favorite teams to target on this slate, and Larnach is hitting. Just absolutely absolutely love what he's doing right now. So give me Larnach for under 4K to get two hits. Stack the score six or more runs. There's a lot of them today. I think there's a lot of upside. I talked about Boston Cleveland way, way early in the podcast. You can go back and scroll when I get done. But yeah, I talked about Boston Cleveland. I like that game. I keep losing my train of thought. I'm so bad at losing my train of thought right now. Oh, stack to score six or more runs. Not the Padres because they're in cores. I like the Padres a lot. I'm going to go way back to the first game that we talked about and give me Philadelphia going up against Nick Martinez and what's assumed to be kind of a bullpen type of game for the Reds today. Give me Philly to score six or more runs in that ballpark. Don't sleep on the Cincinnati ballpark. Philadelphia on the road, you're guaranteed that ninth inning. So like that upside for them today. There wasn't any player props out when I was looking earlier. I'm just quickly looking to see if anything's up right now. Yeah, so they have Woods Richardson over 4.5 strikeouts at -160. Ouch. I am curious, though. You see, the problem with like how bad the Twins have started the season, we're like continuing to get like half a base instead of like 1.5 total bases for these guys. I would really like Larnach like over 1.5 at plus money. But obviously that's not available right now. But if that does pop up, I do like that. He's a guy that I really like in this spot. So check and see if you can get Larnach at my over 1.5 total bases. But we got more player props than I thought we were going to, which is great. Give me Kyle Schwarber going to that game that we just talked about. Give me Kyle Schwarber over 1.5 total bases here. Love this spot for him. Over 1.5 total bases for him. And then as far as any other bets today, I am going to look at this really quick. Yeah, I mean, the books are with me on the Twins game. Oh, you know what? I saw this total when I was breaking this down earlier, and I thought it was way too low. So I'm going to take this one. I'm going to take Boston and Cleveland over 7.5 runs. Just put that bet in as well. That's going to wrap it up here for Thursday, actually on Thursday. Again, happy birthday, Yeezy. Appreciate everyone hanging out with us. We'll be back Friday. Talking more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.